Numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. Have you taken us in? We appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Midland in the hizzy. It's a numbers game right here from Circa. How you doing, sir?
Doing well. How are you?
I am. I'm good. We have an interesting show today.
We do.
I say it that way because you're almost perplexed.
Yeah, I don't know.
Gil, yeah. Gil is the producer of the show. It's like, what's happening? G2E is in town.
Yes.
Right. So as we always, we are honored always on a numbers game because whenever there's something going on, but whether it's Bet Bash, whether it's G2E, whatever it is, folks roll on in.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's awesome that that's the case again today. Spanky will be here a little later on. Spanky, who is the creator, the organizer, the founder of the Bet Bash Conference, will be in here at the end of the show to talk about something that we talked about on the panel that I moderated, that he was kind enough to have me moderate at Bet Bash, which is the bettor's voice. And we'll have a West Virginia legislator on with us by the name of Sean Fluharty, who will also join us to talk about what bettors can do, as a numbers game has a good size of the audience percentage-wise that gets limited, I think, as compared to others, perhaps. This will be an interesting conversation because it's literally what it's called, the bettor's voice. And we'll talk about what that is and what bettors can do to sort of push back on that. We'll also have the CEO of ProfitX on with us today. That's Dean Sisson, who's been with us before, CEO and founder of ProfitX. ProfitX is now doing sweepstakes betting. And you're probably like, well, sweepstakes betting? What is that? Well, we'll explain it. Dean will, coming up on the show. And it has to do with the availability of betting in places that heretofore, Kelly, I love saying that,
yes,
have not had betting available. And I'm talking about you, Texas, and I'm talking about you, California. So that's towards the end of the show today. And then we'll have the standard fare, if you will. Power rankings in the NFL, which are really fascinating, I think, once you get down to the bottom of them. Also at the top, we talked about this with Drew yesterday. It's kind of fascinating at the top. After 5 weeks of the NFL season, some teams having played five games, some having played four, it's about as fascinating a power rankings as ever because, as I said yesterday, I have more 2-3 and 3-2 teams towards the top than in any other season ever.
You know what? It's a good point, but I actually think it's been a more fascinating practice this year,
yes.
I think, for, I mean, you're talking 5 weeks now where it's been semi-radical changes almost, and at least this week it felt like I wasn't making anything massive, but still it's slight repositioning at the top and the bottom.
I feel like my power rankings have been really good, and there wasn't much change except at the bottom. But there was definitely change at the bottom, for sure, of the top 10.
Yeah, the bottom's been all over the place.
Yeah. Win total Wednesdays as well. This was something we started last week. I can't guarantee that we'll do this every week because sometimes we won't have bets, right? Or maybe we just want to do it even if we don't have bets.
Yeah, we might just be doing win totals in other sports.
Or that. but we started this at the NFL yesterday. I had three. Kelly had two last week, I believe it was. Mine were all unders. Were yours both unders as well?
Yeah, I think they were.
Today I have two overs. Adjusted season win totals. I'm not sure what you have.
I have two, and I believe they're both overs.
Okay. I like it. The NFL adjusted season win total market.
No, I'm 1-1. One and one.
One over, one under, you
yes.
mean. Hopefully you're 2-0 is what you're really getting at. But this is a fascinating market week after week where these get adjusted. And in some cases, you will get corroborated by how the number doesn't move after something happens. And then you will look and an opportunity will spring up from nowhere in certain weeks. So we'll get into that as well. Mark Borchardt on baseball, Jason Weingarten will be joining us to talk baseball as well. A quadruple header in Major League Baseball today. Kelly, I say this is my favorite month of the year, October. Baseball playoffs, baseball postseason during the week, NFL and college football during the weekend. Today might be my favorite single day.
All right.
Two game fours, two game threes.
Yeah, it's big. It's been great. I love watching the baseball this time of year. It's awesome. So betting-wise, it's not my favorite month, but I get it. It's one of the best months in sports, for sure.
Oh, I think betting-wise, too. Because, again, we have World Series matchups that are still pending. You know, and what I love is also the numbers game guests, right? Jason Weingarten was at Chavez Ravine for the Dodgers I think game one or two, I can't remember which he went to. Parlay was at Citi Field last night in Queens in the right field stands for the Mets, for the Mets and the Phillies. Paul Carr will be at game three for the Royals today. I think Parlay is also going to game four today. He's sticking around because God forbid he works. So we're doing all that. So yesterday, in case you missed it again, Mets behind just a great performance by Sean Manaea, 7 innings of one earned run baseball on 3 hits. Really stamped down the Phillies, and the Mets roll to a Game 3 victory, 7-2 the final in that one. Was it 7-2? I can't even remember the final. Yeah, 7-2. And Mets take a 2-1 lead in that best of five. They can close out the Phillies today. We'll get to that momentarily. And then the Padres, and what was one of the strangest games that you're likely to ever see, the Padres go crazy. They're down 1-0. They go nuts with a 6-run, this was just incredible, a 6-run frame that was really sort of catalyzed by Manny Machado taking a very fascinating route from first base to second base early in this inning. It was interesting because, Freddie Freeman ends up doinking it off of him and the ball goes into center field, everybody's safe, and sort of the inning continues from that point forward. They end up taking a 6-1 lead. Dodgers get a grand slam from Teoscar Hernandez in the top of the third to make it 6-5. And the Dodgers from that point forward had one base runner. And that score held the rest of the way. And the Padres take a 2-1 lead in their best of five. They can close out the Dodgers tonight. Now, by the way, I will say this. Joe Davis, is that the play-by-play guy's name? Joe Davis? Why does that sound right? Smoltz started to say something about the Machado route from first to second, and then Joe Davis sort of cut him off and was like, good base running in his voice, right? That he is. And they never really made a big deal about it, but it was the key to the whole thing. And so Manny Machado, really did take advantage there, smartly so. The Dodgers did not complain, which was fascinating to me that they didn't. Because Freddie Freeman had the angle, but the Dodgers dugout was not on the first base side. So if the Dodgers dugout had been on the first base side, it might have been a bigger deal.
Because that was the camera angle that was the most like, whoa, he's a little inside there.
I didn't think he took it he was on the grass, he was a step or two on the grass. Anyway, so today in chronological order, and I'll sort of give you my thoughts and what I'm betting here, although full disclosure, I haven't put them in yet. Guardians Tigers begins the day. This is going to be at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern. This is a 1-1 series. And remember, Parles asked me before, yesterday, all the series were 1-1. And he asked me, what's the one that I believe is the most likely to end in 4? And I said, Padres Dodgers. I really do. I believe the Padres. Hey, this is a little interesting because last year, you may remember, my favorite season win total pre-flop was the Rangers over. Mm-hmm. And the Rangers soared over, and then they ended up winning the World Series. This year was the Padres over. And the Padres soared over, and they're the World Series favorites right now. So that'll be interesting to see if that manifests once again, which then will make me hate myself for just taking the season win total over.
Nothing
more than that.
Look at these lines today. Wow.
Well, so these lines are all coin flippy except for the last.
Yeah.
Guardians, Tigers, straight up coin flip. I have no play here. Alex Cobb is going for the Guardians. We don't have a sample size of any import to go on from him this year. Last year, not good with the San Francisco Giants. This should be a coin flip. And this is the series where, once again, it's 5 must wins because you have Tarek Skubal involved. And so the Guardians have to win the games where Skubal isn't pitching, and the Tigers have to win the 2 games, Game 5 if necessary, that Skubal is pitching, and try to cobble together another one without him. That's the whole thing. So the Guardians, to me, it's must win for them today, if you look at it through that prism. Felt that way about the Tigers' initial series, too. You got to win your Skubal game, and then you got to cobble together one other. And they were able to do that in the wild card series against the Astros. Can they do it here against the Guardians? So no play for me on the Tigers-Guardians. I think the coin flip is appropriate. Then it's the Yankees and the Royals. Chronologically speaking, today it's going to be the Phillies and the Mets. Pardon me. 2 hours after that, the game 4 where the Mets can close out the Phillies. This, to me, I think I'm going to have a first 5 bet on the Phillies here. This is Ranger Suarez going up against Quintana. Quintana's advanced stats, by the way, 35-year-old Quintana.
Well, I just had to look up Alex Cobb, 37.
Alex Cobb is 37. Yeah, Quintana's 35. This is a battle of lefties between Suarez and Quintana. Suarez hasn't been peak Suarez, if you will, but I trust him a little more than I do over a short span of pitching than I do Quintana, who, by the way, the Phillies are good against lefties. They're really good against lefties late in the season, they have been. So I think I'm going to go first five on the Phils there as the Phillies try to stay alive and force a game five back at Citizens Bank. So I'm leaning first five. I'll probably have that one in
by
the end of the show. Same price, -115 on the Phillies. Then it's the Royals and the Yankees, game number three in Kansas City. Paul Carr in attendance on this one. This is Lugo against Schmidt. No play for me here. The Yankees are slight favorites. I don't know if they should be. I would think the Royals ought to be slight favorites, but, you know, neither here nor there, not enough to trigger a bet. And this is the series where Reagans would be available in game five if it were to go that far, and I just have no feel for who would win any game in this series at this point. But the Royals do have that at least looming, so they're at a bare minimum, obviously, Captain Obvious, because they have to win one or else they'd be eliminated, but they do know that they have that going in game five. The Yankees have Gerrit Cole going in game four, so this is the one that could really tip the advantage either way.
Man, it feels like I've heard a lot of Seth Lugo and Royals love so far.
I'm not touching this game. Dodgers Padres is Dylan Cease against TBD. Do we even have a Dodgers starter yet?
No. You got to watch out for TBD, though.
David Ortiz said it last night on the postgame. He goes, TBD, not good. Padres advantage, and it's reflected in the line, -142. Why did that line go down in the -130s yesterday? I jumped on it when it got to the -130. Yeah, I don't know why it went down. And the Padres were able to hold on as the Padres look to eliminate the Dodgers. We could have the Dodgers and Phillies both gone by the end of the day. Can't wait. Mark Borchard's thoughts next.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
You the type of players looking to get down $10,000 or more on an NFL line at the best price in the market, or perhaps you're looking to get your in-game play instantly accepted. Introducing Sportrade, the app that's going to change sports betting forever. -104 lines instead of the typical -110. Instant in-game betting and a concierge player service. Sportrade, perfect for those who want a premium betting experience. Sportrade live in New Jersey, Colorado, Iowa, and now Arizona. How about that? Virginia coming soon. Download Sportrade. Use code VSIN. Turn 10% cash back on each wager in your first week. Terms apply. Got to be 21 years or older to play. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Live from Circa right here in downtown Las Vegas. Majestic downtown Las Vegas. By the way, just a couple of NFL notes before we get to Borchard, Kelly. Drake May getting the start with the Patriots on Sunday.
Yeah.
Against the Texans. Why do you say it that way?
I don't know if this is the right time.
Too soon.
Although, Jacoby Brissett, hats off to you. You did your job, right? This was the job all along. Come in. You knew what this was likely going to be. It was going to be a tough start to the season. You were probably going to get replaced at some point. You were going to take a lot of hits. You have taken a lot of hits.
What a fascinating career he's had.
He really has. Yeah. Stand-up guy, though. I covered him in high school. I love him. But the Drake May, like, against the Texans.
Man, joy.
Yeah, like, the Texans D's been pretty good up front. And then they go to London next week. Like, I would have given it two more weeks, probably. But, you know, whatever.
And then an MRI confirms the oblique injury for a Derek Carr. Which typically leads to multi-week absences. And the Saints, just checking the schedule here, play two games in 10 days, Sunday against the Bucks, and then October 17th, 4 days after that, 4 days after that, against the Broncos on Thursday Night Football. There's the Sunday after that, and then the Thursday, right? So it's a interesting schedule for them, and so... There you go. We're getting Jake Haener. Is that the story?
So, well, that was what was kind of interesting yesterday. We saw Haener come in to replace him, but it sounds like it might be Spencer Rattler actually gets the start.
Could be Spencer Rattler. Jake Haener, whose mom, Julie Haener, was a noted Bay Area local news anchor for the entire time I used to live there.
Really?
Yeah. That's crazy. I was like, Julie Haener's kid's playing quarterback? Mark Borchard joined us from an undisclosed location somewhere in the desert to talk some baseball with us. You can follow him at BaseWinner, basewinner.com. And, of course, he's got his BetUS show as well, where he not only talks baseball, but he also spits some rhymes, I'm told. It's Mark Borchard, everybody. How you doing, Mark?
I'm doing good. Hey, speaking of spitting rhymes, Jose Iglesias. Yes. Oh my God. It's a good song too, Gil. Have you listened to it?
Well, I haven't heard it. If you played it, I wouldn't recognize it, but I do remember the night the Mets played, where after the game, he performed a little mini concert, and all of his teammates, for those who don't know, Iglesias has a music career as well. His teammates were out there, like, you know, supporting his little mini concert. It was the most interesting thing ever.
What?
Yeah, he goes by the name of Candelita. It's really a good song. If you guys like reggaeton, and I mean, I would compare him to there's a famous reggaeton singer from Panama. His name is Eddie Lover, and he sounds just like Eddie Lover. It's really good. It's a beautiful song.
Okay, there you go. A little reggaeton for you, Kelly.
Man, I got some YouTube videos to watch.
Yeah, Kelly's got some homework. I'll keep him busy.
he's really talented. You think it's like, well, this is kind of gimmicky, but he's really good.
Yeah. All right. Well, he's got other things on his mind today. Let's do this in chronological order because I want to get your thoughts on the individual games today. Greatest day of the year, man. Quadruple header, postseason quadruple header, 2 game 3s, 2 game 4s. I want to get your thoughts on the individual games and then where the series stands, if there might be a adjusted series price you want to play. The Guardians and the Tigers kick things off today. First pitch, 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 noon Pacific. Game 3 back in Detroit. And you got Alex Cobb going for the Guardians. What are your thoughts on this game and on the series itself?
Oh, I think all these series have been really exciting. I'm rooting for all the series to go 5, but particularly this game. I think this game's priced where it needs to be. It's in the market about a pick 'em. I've got it at -111 for Cleveland. You know, Alex Cobb's interesting in that his pitching plus number is really high. I have him in the top 5 pitchers of all MLB for his pitching plus. And that's The Athletic. You know, Saras does that based on, I think there's 11 different metrics on that. So a good starting pitcher. Detroit's still kind of up in the air. I've got Brant Herter. And the question, if Brant Herter starts, will it be Hurt So Good, or the Linda Ronstadt version of the song Hurt So Bad? So I guess if he starts, that's what you're going to be looking at. I think that the value for me is with the series. I've got it priced at -122 for the Guardians. You can get the Guardians at -105. And I think what an interesting comparison is you've got, for me at least, 6 bullpens that are really close, led by Cleveland, and then the Yankees are, it's 5 through 10. Out of the 30 teams, and Cleveland's expected ERA based on my numbers, 3.57. Then it goes down to the Yankees, 3.7. And Mets, Royals, Padres, Phillies are all in there. And then 15 is the Dodgers, but at 25th is the Detroit Tigers with an expected ERA of 4.31. So I think that this is where the series will turn for me. I would not play the game here. I would play the Cleveland series, Gil.
You agree with me that this feels like the series where there are 5 must games, where with Skubal having, you know, pitched game 2 and then, if necessary, game 5, that the Tigers have to win the Skubal games and the Guardians kind of have to win the non-Skubal games. Like, that's how they both ought to be looking at it. And the Tigers have to cobble together a third win somewhere.
Yeah, I don't see it. Have this Cleveland bullpen. How about this Cade Smith, 66.6 strikeout percentage in the playoffs. The guy's unhittable. Hats off to the Tigers for getting to Class A. I don't see it happening again, Gil.
Where is Eno Saris? You referenced Eno Saris, who we all love in like sort of the baseball nerd world. Where is he getting those great Cobb numbers from last year?
No, he aggregates them. Those are this year's numbers. So,
but it's such a small sample size, isn't it?
What you'll see too is sometimes the guy's got really good stuff, and then his metrics don't support that. I mean, it's that the one good thing about those individual pitch metrics, though, is you can use them. So if he's got 100 pitches, I think it's a better gauge with a shorter sample size, Gil.
Oh, okay, all right. Interesting. All right, next game, Phillies and the Mets, game 4. Mets looking to close this out, but it is Quintana going up against Suarez. I was saying earlier, I kind of lean Phillies first 5. How about you?
Oh, I'd like the Mets here if you had to play it. I'm not going to play it. I think the best play in this game is to go first 5 over 4, and you can do that for -115. And it's just kind of logically thinking, if you look at my numbers, Both the pitchers a little bit better than average, but not much. And then you've got the sixth best offense with the Phillies versus the third best offense with the Mets. So just from a logical standpoint, I would go with the over first five. Another thing you might want to look at in that game is Trey Turner to get a stolen base. He's at plus 400 on that. And the last two times Quintana's been out, he pitched against the Brewers. He allowed the team allowed three stolen bases two games back and then five in the start on Thursday night. So that's a combination of Quintana's stolen base numbers as well as the Mets bullpen stolen base numbers against, which aren't very good, Gil.
Adjusted series price on the Phillies is plus 195. Sounds like you're not interested in that.
I would, if I had to do anything, I'd lay the minus 250 with the Mets. I've got it priced at minus 265 for the Mets. But most of these series prices are pretty close to where they need to be. But that's how I would tackle that series.
Yep. Royals Yankees game three. This is the series that I have the least feel for. What do you think about this game between Lugo and Schmidt?
I think it's priced right. I've got it at minus 115. It's in the market at minus 109. Again, I'm going to go with the first five over there. I just think that this Yankees offense is ready to explode. And then you've got Clark Schmidt, who's just a little bit better than an average pitcher. Again, it's the third pitcher on each team. And I think that four is a little bit low, Gil.
All right. And then the nightcap, Padres trying to close out the Dodgers. And this is Dylan Cease going against, as we were talking about earlier, TBD. Gotta love TBD. But this is, I think the Padres are appropriately priced, minus 142. What say you?
Well, I think that what's interesting is I have Landon Knack as the pitcher. And for me, it's like, if Landon Knack pitches, are the Padres going to mock him by playing My Sharona? Could be a question that might be answered tonight. But now we're looking at the numbers, and I have Cease versus Knack. I like Knack's advanced numbers. I've got the game as a pick full game. And the offense for the Dodgers, though, I have second in baseball, and that is with a healthy Freddie Freeman. And I don't know if he's healthy, but from a handicapping standpoint, how do you do that? Like, you knock him down 10%. It's just kind of a guess. So based on the numbers, I think it's a pick 'em. I think you can get a little bit of value. I think you can get the Dodgers at plus 122 full game. And that's what I would do for this game, Gil.
Yeah, Freeman definitely has a hitch in his giddy up. And by the way, Kelly, the Knack, their big hit, My Sharona. Did you get that?
Oh, okay. All right. Thanks for putting it all together for me.
You're welcome. All right, so let's review. So what do you like? You have the first five overs and the two middle games, Yankees, Royals, and Phillies, Mets. And you do like the Dodgers full game?
Dodgers full game, and then Turner to get a stolen base is kind of my big price, right, plus 400.
And nothing in the first game between the Guardians and the Tigers?
I'm gonna watch it, and if you want to get into that game, I'd recommend playing the series with the Indians, but the Guardians. It's only taken me 3 years, Gil.
That's all right. You still got time, Mark. Thank you, sir. Enjoy the day. It's going to be awesome.
Mark. Absolutely, Gil. Thanks.
Mark Borchardt, everybody. NFL Power Rankings next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Put the VSiN experts to work for you this football season. Start betting smarter with a VSiN Pro subscription. Sign up on a VSiN Pro annual subscription today. Get your first year for only $199. Just use promo code ANG. Full access to everything we do, including daily best bets, top-rated betting systems, 24/7 video, betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game, plus our all-new NBA betting guide featuring Kalei Badalan.
Uh-oh.
JVT in there as well, of course. Adam Burke, Zach Cohen, the great. Yeah. Remember to use promo code ANG, though.
ANG, like a numbers game.
To get your first year of VSiN Pro access for only $199, sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. We get tweets at Beating the Book. I faked out the crew back here by reading these.
Yeah, don't worry, Brendan. You didn't miss anything.
Sorry, Brendan. Bruce Dobigan, renewing my Spotify subscription so I can understand Mark Borchardt's segment this morning.
yeah, I was doing a little bit of that too.
We're getting a lot of, not a lot, but we're getting a few tweets about the segment coming up with the legislator from West Virginia who'll be here with Spanky, Sean Fluharty, who will be here to talk about the Better's Voice. He goes, Mike Stack says, for the Voice segment, what can a person do when they tell the sports book? A few years ago, basically, they closed his account. Then when you want to play again, they tell you once it's closed, you're done and you can't reopen it. What can those people do? I will ask him. Thank you for the question. Those are the kind of questions that he'll be able to help with. This is Montreal Max. This is great at Stardust Book. Remember when JVT won that Erica Andreeva morning bet when we were doing that weird DraftKings thing? And I came in and I said,
Not Mira, Erica.
And I came in and I said, she's not even the good Andreeva sister. Which made it even more incredible.
Put her on the map.
Well, Erica Andreeva played Mira Andreeva today in Wuhan or last night, however you want to say it. And Mira, the younger sister, who's the great player, was a big favorite. And Erica Andreeva apparently rolled her. And Montreal Max points out, he goes, Gil, it did look a little bit like Mira might have laid down for Sister Erica in the Andreeva sisters matchup in Wuhan this morning, as Erica could use the points and prize money more in a 1,000 event than the highly ranked Mira does.
Oh, interesting.
It is very interesting that was was such a blowout. Now, I wish I had sort of played on that, but I did not touch that match. But that is a fascinating result. Chris Heath, I could listen to Mark say, and did reggaeton for the rest of the day, although I don't really think it came out of his mouth as reggaeton. Reggaeton. Brian Morianen, what were the odds of reggaeton cashing on the show today?
I don't know. I've stopped with my music expectations when Mark Borchardt comes on. I mean, that's,
Bobby Knuckles, can we get an official ANG Mark Borchardt Spotify playlist? Exactly.
Now that's a good call. We might need him to design a full playlist.
Little Jethro Tull and Ray J on the same playlist.
Like, it would be an interesting mix.
And then another one, Jesse Welch, for the Better's Voice segment coming up. Since you have this special guest on today, I'd love some advice on how to go about trying to get the New Hampshire government / gaming to allow more books than just DK so that New Hampshire bettors can shop lines without having to leave the state. I don't know if he can help with that, but we'll certainly see what he has to say about it. And then Kevin Ryan says someone needs to tell Mark Borchardt it's okay to have a picture or two on those walls. All right. Well, people are really into the Mark Borchardt. Oh, and Steve the Proxy, he disagrees. He's a Mets fan, by the way. I think he's a Mets fan. He says Quintana has a 0.64 ERA over his last seven starts, giving up 3 earned runs over 43 and a third since August 25th. Philly good against lefties, but their bats are clearly cold. Perhaps from the layoff. Ranger Suarez 2-7 since his return from a back injury. Mets will celebrate tonight, he says. Very well could happen.
Yo.
Very well could happen.
Steve convinced.
They feel like they've got the magic, don't they? Hoops by Hoots wants to know, can we talk about the tennis freakouts on officials from the last 2 days? The only one I want to talk about is Tiafoe. Did you see this?
No, I did not. Like, they're as bad or worse than I've ever seen.
Tiafoe was in a third set tiebreaker against Roman Safiyin, I believe it was. Safiyin beats him, but I think it was 5-5 in the third set tiebreaker. As the, you know, there's the equivalent of the pitch clock in tennis is the serve clock. And as it was going down to zero, Tiafoe, in order to sort of take advantage of the rules, just sort of throws the ball up just so he doesn't get a violation.
Oh.
But the ump wasn't playing that game. And so he did, in fact, give him a violation.
Well, is there a rule against it?
No.
Sounds like a good workaround from Francis to me.
So anyway, Tiafoe, of course, ends up losing the match. And they go to shake the umpire's hands. And Safiyin shakes the umpire's hands. And then Francis Tiafoe did not and unleashed. That's all I have to say.
Oh, really?
Unleashed.
All right. Well, I'm not going to.
He has since apologized for his behavior. He says that's not him.
I'm not going to defend that. But
I love when people do something and they go, that's not me. No, actually, it was you.
It was. It was. And it was you sure, like a whole pretty, 4 hours ago.
I'm pretty sure it was you.
Yeah. All right. I don't have any comments on what he said. He said to the ump afterward. But I'm always a fan of taking advantage of the rules. If you know what the rules are, and there's no rule against that. Then
I mean, he was clearly
sure.
It was clearly nonsense. But at the same time, it's clearly within the rules. So anyway, it was
like what I texted you the other night. I don't want to get into this big intentional grounding conversation, but it's just intentional grounding is such a funny rule sometimes where it's just like, because you fit one of the parameters, like I can clearly spike the ball into the ground when I'm not even, there's a receiver in the area, but he's 10 feet away. And it's like, there's never an intent to go to him.
I completely agree with you. So let's just the brief comparison, CJ Stroud getting flagged for it because he was throwing it where a receiver wasn't, but he thought was actually going to be.
Right. And you could make the argument the guy ran the wrong route. And if he ran the right route, he would have been well within the area.
Versus Patrick Mahomes going to the ground, knowing that there's no possible way he can complete a pass and just sort of spiking it,
just spiking it
and not getting flagged. Yeah,
like there's never any intention at all to go to a receiver there.
Completely agree.
Stuff drives me nuts.
There you go. Kelly Bidlin interpreting the news, ladies. ladies and gentlemen, it's time for NFL Power Rankings. Plug it in.
Go, go, Power Rankings.
What was that? What was that one?
It's Power Rangers.
Okay.
You know.
Okay, gotcha.
Power Rangers.
I'm a little too old for the Power Rangers. Were those the four turtle looking things? No, that was the Teenage Ninja Mutant.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, man.
Totally different.
Don't insult the turtles. Okay, come on. You can say whatever you want about the Power Rangers. Apologies. Don't insult the turtles.
Didn't expect to insult turtles on the show today, but I guess I guess we're here. All right. At the top, I've made a little change at the top. I still believe the 49ers are the most talented team in football, and they have been my de facto number one. But I got to put the Chiefs at number one because they do it with nobody.
Yeah.
Stop already. I can't not make them one anymore because, all right, we'll just go to Juju a whole bunch now that we don't have anybody else. So I got the Chiefs at one. I do have the Niners as a 2-3 team at number two because, again, if you look at, like, you know, the two games they lost, two of the three they lost, and I know they lost them, but they were in position to win. They didn't have a kicker in one of them. This is the strangest after 5 week power rankings you'll ever see in terms of records. Records don't matter to my power rankings. And I got the Niners at number two. Ravens remain at number three after their win against the Bengals. Lions remain at number four. They were idle. Vikings remain at five over a sort of ho-hum win over the Jets in London. Texans remain at six after they beat the Bills. And the Packers, for me, remain at seven after a pretty gutty win for them at the Rams. The Bills go up one, even with a loss to the Texans. Hey, Bills fans, look at me. I don't hate you that much. They're at eight. And ladies and gentlemen, for the first time in a numbers game power rankings history, the Washington Taco Holders are in at number nine. Let's go. Sorry. They play the Ravens this week. We'll learn a lot more about them. And then I have the Seahawks falling two spots. They're at number 10.
All right, I like it. I was definitely not looking up Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle power rankings because I was going to make it apply to mine. But let's move over to mine. All right, so same thoughts at the top. I'm kind of intrigued that we both landed on this because I would agree with you and Drew that I think overall roster-wise, 49ers would still be my top team. But dropped them, moved the Chiefs up. I don't know what we can really argue about the Chiefs these days. I moved them down last week. I had them number one the whole time, moved them down, put the Niners up. I think the Chiefs will just be sitting at number one for a while for me here. They, like you said, they're doing it with nothing. It's impressive.
It's the Mike Somich Chiefs theory, right?
Yeah.
Until proven otherwise.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So 49ers two for me. I went Lions three, Ravens four. Left them there. I think that you could make, you could definitely make an argument for Ravens being ahead of them. You could make an argument for Ravens being number one. I think too. I think there's a lot of people out there that feel that way. Texans and Bills, I flipped. They were faced each other last week, so that was pretty easy. Texans five, Bills six. Vikings move up to seven for me. I have a hard time putting them much higher than that. I know we're 5 weeks in, so maybe that's a little ridiculous. And I've always been Mr. Pro Vikings, but I have a hard time putting them higher than sevens right now. Eagles, I have at eight. Eagles not on yours, right? Outside of your top 10?
The only teams we had different is you had Eagles in, and you had Eagles at eight, and I had Seahawks at 10.
Okay. Yeah. Packers nine for me. Up one spot. It's not on a up two. look at that, Commanders. Like you said, first time I put them in my power rankings too.
I just want to soak in the Skins logo in this top 10 power rankings. Just look at that.
Was not expecting that.
Look how beautiful that is.
Preseason predictions definitely would have whiffed on that one.
You got your burgundy. You got your gold. You got three Super Bowl championships is what you have right there, ladies and gentlemen. These are remarkably similar, yours and mine.
Yeah.
We'll come back and we'll talk with JVT, our senior NBA analyst. NBA and football next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Basketball season ready to tip off, and the VSiN experts have been hard at work tracking the latest player moves to help you bet smarter. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today for as little as $9.99 for your first month and reserve your copy of our upcoming NBA betting guide. Yeah. Look at that.
Let's go.
With the Oklahoma City Thunder picture right there. This has been a labor of love for Zach Cohen, for Adam Burke, for Jonathan Von Tobel, for Kelly Bidlin. They've done such a great job on this. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today for this. Previews and power ratings on all 30 teams, best bets and futures from the VSiN experts, player prop and live betting strategies, plus JBT's favorite title bets. Give yourself an edge this season. Reserve your copy of the VSiN NBA betting guide and get a full month of VSiN Pro for just $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. First, we get tweets at Beating the Book, Kelly, before we get to that NBA stuff, because, you know, if only we had JBT on the show to talk about it.
If only, yes.
But we apparently we got tons of response here on this. Bobby Knuckles, power ranking down one spot for me after insulting both the Ninja Turtles and Power Rangers. Kelly up one spot. Could have gone up two spots if he did the guitar riff from the Power Rangers theme song.
Oh, man, I don't know if I know the guitar riff.
Well, fail by you. Jimmy Lopez, Gil is not a millennial. Kelly, go, go Power Rangers. I'm Gen X, dude. The greatest of all generations. Thank you very much.
Yeah,
Michael Burns, didn't have Gil as a little too old for the Power Rangers on my bingo card today. While y'all were watching the Power Rangers, I was paying attention to a little something I like to call girls.
It was like DJing country radio at this point.
Brian M. Whoa. Gil cannot say whatever he wants about the Power Rangers. I didn't say anything about the Power Rangers. Negative comments about Kimberly Hart are strictly off limits. I don't even know what that means.
Is that the full Pink Power Rangers full name? Did we just get the
no
full
idea.
Name?
I don't even know what's happening. Johnny Vegas, a little too old for Power Rangers, Gil. I mean, a 15-year-old is too old for the Power Rangers. That's the age when we're girl crazy. Thank you. Cartoons are a thing of the past. Kelly's pushing 35, no?
38.
And then D-Gen Southern Jet. Damn it, Kelly. Get Gil in line there. It's the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. I know it's not your generation, Gil, but those shows are precious to 80s babies like Kelly and I. I just don't know.
Yep, that's right.
I didn't disparage him or anything.
I also consulted with Bobby Knuckles in the back. Yeah. We did power rank correctly the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. It goes Leonardo, Raphael. I know that might be quite controversial, but Leonardo is the technical leader, so you got to put him number one. Michelangelo, he likes to party, so he comes number three for me. For Robbie, comes number four. Donatello, number four.
Oh, it just occurred to me that we know who Bobby Knuckles is.
Yeah, that is Rob Moreno.
Oh, tell him to pipe down.
Who likes to silent tweet into the show because he knows you don't recognize the name.
Back to the NBA guide, everybody. Jonathan Von Tobel, our senior NBA analyst, joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, to talk multiple sports. JVT, how you doing, man?
I'm good, and it is a known fact that Leonardo was given two swords because as the leader, he has to make the tough decisions, as in when to take somebody's life.
That is why
Leonardo is the leader. And may I add that the 1995 Power Rangers movie in which they have to combat Ivan Ooze to save the world is one of the best 90s movies of all time.
To answer your question, no, you may not add that. I know you thought that was rhetorical.
Also, I'll shout out Amy Jo Johnson, the original Pink Power Ranger, who is Kimberly Clark.
Okay, okay. Yes. Yeah, thank you. He knows the actors.
I have no idea what's happening. None.
I'll put the live-action Ninja Turtles movie up against it any day.
Oh, no, people are
saying
pictures.
And then when Ooze kills Zordon at the beginning of the movie, it's a very tragic event.
You gotta hate it when Zordon.
when they all combined powers or whatever?
Yep. Okay. Oh, well, no, Zordon was their leader. Zordon was the guy in the big tube, if you remember, the big face. Right,
no,
when he was giving it out.
Anymore.
And then there's the little robot. He would always go, ay, ay, ay. I don't remember what his name was, but yeah.
Please make it stop. Just please make it stop.
Don't get me started on Pokemon.
No, you've already started, John. You've already started. You know what you also like to talk about is the LA Clippers. Are you taking them to win it all again this year, or have you finally stopped the madness on this?
Nah, I mean, I don't want to open that can of worms. I'll say this. When it comes to the Clippers this year, I just don't know where the offense is coming from. The Clippers are saying all of the right things about Kawhi Leonard, that he's going to be available at the beginning of the year. But the Clippers also expressed just outrage that Kawhi was left off the Olympic roster, and then he went and had a knee procedure. So they're clearly big, fat liars. And I don't think that Kawhi Leonard is going to be healthy. And so, Gil, when you look at this team and what their potential starting lineup is, with Derrick Jones Jr., Ivica Zubac, Chris Dunn, Norm Powell around James Harden, there's not a lot of scoring there. There's not a lot of shooting there. I think they're going to be very good defensively, And if you tell me Kawhi gives you another 55 games, yeah, maybe they can go over the win total, compete for a play-in, but I just don't really see it right now. And I don't know why you would trust that he's going to be available at the beginning of the year. They've already said he's going to miss second legs of back-to-back, so I can guarantee you he's going to miss 8 games because they have 16 back-to-backs. I just don't really see it from an offensive standpoint. So in the guide, I went under for their win total.
All right. Do you feel cleansed by that this year? Do you feel good about that?
Oh, it's so great. Like, yeah. It's just put me out of my misery, right? Like, just,
that's right.
Just slit my throat and just let me go, because I was tired of hope every single year. And so now that I'm released from this prison, it feels a lot better. I can just watch this team. And hopefully they're just kind of plucky and fun to watch. If you remember like this first or second Shea Gilgeous-Alexander year out there where they got it to the playoffs and they came back in a big game against the Warriors, ultimately lost in the first round. Like, I want a gritty, gutty sort of team like that. That'll be fun to watch.
Who is your Clippers, if you will, of this year?
It's going to be the Suns. I really like what the Suns did in the offseason. I like the addition of Tyus Jones at point guard. I like the fact that Budenholzer has come in and allowed them to really open this floor up. In the first game, they shot 39 threes in the preseason. I think they put up 25 yesterday in the first quarter. They've really steered into this whole thing when it comes to playing a more analytically sound style of basketball. You've got a true point guard, and you've added just a little bit better depth, right? You have Mason Plumlee as your backup center instead of Drew Eubanks. You've added Monty Morris to the bench. Like, there's just little things that I think you'll like a little bit more about this team. So I did take Phoenix. You can find it out there. 7-1 to win 55 or more games. Their win total is floating around like 47.5, 48.5. I think this is going to be a very, very good team. They're about 30-1 to win the NBA Finals. Put a wager on that too. They are going to be my Clippers this year. I think this Suns team is going to be very, very good.
All right, to baseball. What do you like today, and what do you still have pending futures-wise?
Yeah, so futures-wise, I've got two things tied into. I got the Royals at 40-1 to win the American League. And then I was gifted this parlay. So essentially, Paul Howard and I have a Minnesota Lynx, New York Yankees, Boston Celtics to win last year's finals parlay tied into this thing.
Obviously.
So, sure. Yes. Yeah, right. Sure. Yeah.
Sure. Sure.
So we're very much into this. It was gifted to me. It's not like something I put together, but hey, we got a rooting interest here. So that's what I like. But I'll say this. So I've kind of been riding this Mets thing a little bit, and it might not be the most sound thing in the world, but I thought Manaea came in and been very good form yesterday. And I'm going to ride this thing out. The Mets, if you look at it, weighted runs created plus throughout the regular season. They were a team that hit lefties pretty well. You get Suarez on the hill here today. The lineup has been absolutely incredible. We're looking at some spots minus 107 upwards of getting to like minus 115. I think anything under that like minus 115 mark, which is plenty available, is still good for the Mets today. So I'm going to come back to the well. Bet the New York Mets in this early game against Suarez and the Phillies. I think they're going to end this thing at home.
And I'm, by the way, I'm remiss that I didn't give you condolences on that whole Astros thing you had going on. Could you tell people what that was?
Yeah. So I had the blackjack free rolls, a tournament out there at Circa, and I ended up finishing fifth place in the blackjack tournament. So I got a $7,000 free roll at the Astros at 17-1 to win the World Series. And I had said it, Gil, like in the weeks leading up, the thing I kept pounding the table was like, just don't get the Tigers in a short series. If you get Scooble at the top, it's going to be a nightmare for you. And then sure enough, they get the Tigers. Scooble's great at the top. And they actually end up losing the second game. So I put some on the Tigers. I got a little bit out of it. So that was nice to win the series. But yeah, short lived. I just wanted to sweat it out. You know, I didn't even want to win. I just wanted like something to get the juices flowing, you know, over the course of a postseason. And ultimately wasn't the case.
The juices did not get going. So yeah. Okay. Well, you still got shots at these other ones. NFL week 6, what do you like best?
All right, so we'll go Indianapolis, Tennessee. So I've been betting these Colts games over. Three of their games have gone over the total so far. I think we know at this point, Indianapolis, especially the secondary, look, they're young, they're raw, they're not particularly good at this point right now. And so it has lent itself to some really high scoring affairs so far this season. A 24-17, not game, fourth quarter the other day against the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I think this team is going to be an over team. And regardless, whether it's Joe Flacco or Anthony Richardson, Shane Steichen is brilliant at scheming up explosive plays for this offense. Alec Pierce has done it. Mitchell's done it. Every single one of these guys, their wide receiver core is deep. And regardless of who is playing running back, Taylor obviously maximizes things. I think this is a team that is going to be able to have a lot of high scoring affairs. So I bet this game over 42.5. I still think it's playable 43. I think we're going to start to trickle up a little bit more, but I bet Colts over 42.5 or Colts Titans over 42.5. And the other one, I haven't done it yet, but I'm ready for more punishment to go against your Commanders. The defense isn't good.
No,
like,
it's not.
But they haven't been tested yet, really.
No.
I think Baltimore's the one to do it. But here's the thing. Baltimore's secondary has looked awful, right? The Bengals game, the Cowboys game, we can go down the list. So I'm a little worried about it, but it's tempting to look at that 6.5 for Baltimore. So for sure, I think Baltimore's going to be a contest play for me. And I think I'm going to come back and actually bet them out right here, see what the market does. But the Ravens will be a bet for me this weekend.
There's no question. The Commanders, this is a step up in competition. We will learn everything about them this week.
Yep.
All the doubts. Real quick, 30 seconds left. Anything in college or nothing?
Fresno State taking on Washington State at home, catching 3.5. Pretty good spot. They've had a week to chew on the UNLV loss. Washington State, not good defensively. I think it's a good spot for the Bulldogs, catching a field goal on the hook at home, take on the Cougars, Washington State. So give me Fresno State in that spot.
All right. College football, pro football, baseball, NBA.
He does
Power
it.
Rangers.
And Rangers and whatever that whole thing was at the beginning. JVT.
I the news.
At me, JVT, on Twitter. Thank you, sir, as always.
Thanks for having me, guys. Good talk to you.
Jonathan Von Tobel, everybody, right here on the network. As always, doing a great job. We'll come back. Our adjusted season win totals on the other side.